James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let everything do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help you. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at the sea, keeping all your options open. Discerning God's call for your life. So first of all, let's look at what the Scripture's telling us to do and not to do. Do count it all joy. Do embrace the testing of your faith. Do pray that the Lord uses those tests to make you steadfast. And steadfast means standing firm, not wavering, completely resolved to fulfill your mission. In order to do that, though, your mission has to be crystal clear. You can't hit a target that you don't even know where it is. The full effect of steadfastness produced as a result of enduring trials with our Lord looks like this. I am perfectly complete and lacking nothing simply because my salvation is complete and secure. Verses 5 through 8 instructs us to pray for wisdom. Satan tap dances when Christians just assume that they're wise, that they know what God wants them to do, and they don't continually pray for the wisdom that only comes from the Lord. Friends, filter every decision through the Word of God, and only the Word of God, to determine whether or not your personal choices and your life decisions are wise. After my son was born 4 years ago, I found myself a mom of two under two, and I really struggled with postpartum depression. And here's what my PPD symptoms look like. The baby had some GI issues, so he wasn't sleeping well, which means I was sleep deprived. And one night, I knew something was wrong with me, because there I was, standing over his crib, screaming at my newborn to just shut up and sleep. Knowing that there was no logical reason at all for me to be angry about what my baby couldn't even help. But it was like I wasn't even in control of myself and was just watching my life happen, almost like it was a movie and I was in the audience. Telling myself to stop, but the movie kept rolling despite my interjections. It also looked like I didn't want to get out of bed, not just because I was sleep deprived, but also because I didn't want to do anything. Everything just felt overwhelming and impossible. The house clutter, forget it. I hated being in my home. The last thing I wanted to do was walk in the door and see the mess of everything. PPD for me looked like focusing almost exclusively and obsessively on my career. Late nights at work, long business trips out of town, whatever I could do to not have to deal with what I was feeling when I was at home. Because at least at work, I was able to achieve results and get positive attention. And unfortunately, my PPD also looked like I started drinking a lot in secret. I drank a lot of water on normal days, so since I always had a cup with me, I started adding vodka to my sparkling water, sometimes quite a bit of it. And there's a lot more that I could go into, but I think you get the idea. My feelings had completely swallowed me whole, and I was captive to the feeling that I was a terrible mom. It would never be anything other than that. I remember at one point questioning why God even made me a mother, if this is how I was going to handle it. Being a mother is a calling that I knew God had placed in my heart, and so when I finally got medication from my doctor for PPD, and that fog of depression lifted just enough for me to see that my feelings were not facts, and that it was okay to feel depressed, and that I didn't have to be captive to it, I dove headfirst into discipleship. My passion to study Scripture in order to understand who God is, and therefore the image I was created in, was born out of this time in my life where I discovered my true identity as a child of God. Around that time, I also had an opportunity to participate in an Emmaus Walk weekend. I went into that weekend with my heart and my mind not fully aligned, and I knew it. My heart desired God and God's will for me fully, but my mind wasn't in the right place, and there was just this block. I just felt stuck on how to move forward in God's will. I wrote in my journal on the first night of the retreat before bed, "God, what is it you're calling me to do with my life?" By the end of that blessed retreat weekend, God showed me through this very scripture in James that I was asking the wrong question. What I'm called to do is irrelevant. The only thing that matters to God is who I am called to be. He will work out the rest for me. So let's look at who God is calling us to be according to what Brother James wrote in these verses. The Message translation that I read at the beginning of this podcast titles the section of scripture as Faith Under Pressure. Most likely, we know that Brother James was probably specifically addressing martyrdom because the first century church was facing trials and challenges simply because they were Christians in a culture that was hostile to Christians. Holiness and wholeness is the call that God places on every believer's life, both for the first century believers and for all of us today, even for busy moms. So let those words be a gut check for all of us. The only pursuit that matters to God is holiness and wholeness, or as James says in the NIV version, being complete and lacking of nothing. Friends, who you are determines what you do. So if you are not pursuing holiness in every aspect of your life, I guarantee you will feel lost no matter what you try to do to fix it. C.H. Spurgeon once said, "Anything is a blessing which makes us pray." Indeed, the very act of prayer is a blessing. To pray is, as it were, to bathe in a cool, swirling stream, and so to escape from the heat of Earth's summer sun. To pray is to mount on eagle's wings above the clouds and get into the clear heaven where God dwells. To pray is to enter the treasure house of God and to gather riches out of an inexhaustible storehouse. To pray is to grasp heaven in your arms, to embrace God within your soul, and to feel your body made a temple of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the answer, prayer in itself is a blessing. To pray, my friends, is to cast off your burdens. It's to tear away your rags, shake off what hinders you, be filled with spiritual vigor, and it's to reach the highest point of Christian health. God grant us to be much in the holy art of wrestling with God in prayer. So, is there an area in your life right now that's a total mess? Wrestle with God in prayer over it. Here's what I'm wrestling with God in prayer over right now. At home, my house is a mess. Still. Clutter everywhere. Laundry at least folded, but stacked up in different places and not put away. I don't keep a regular cleaning schedule, so yeah, about that. Oh, and I yell at my kids more than I even listen to them. And sometimes I'm outright mean to my husband. Okay, I'm often outright mean to my husband. I know that God desires me to be holy and whole, even at home. Lord, hear my prayer and transform my heart. A total mess at work. I struggle with procrastinating and missing deadlines. Most days my boss is chasing me down, reminding me to get things done before the deadline, and a lot of the time I'm just not happy with the way work's going or what's being asked of me to do. I know that God desires me to be holy and whole, even at work. Lord, hear my prayer and transform my heart. At church, Christians are really difficult to work with. You guys know it's true. I swear that being a pastor is the only job where everyone else is sure that they know exactly what you should be doing in every way. And as a pastor's wife with a high D disc personality type, this is exhausting for me. So I end up judging fellow Christians way more than I'd like to admit. And I know that God desires me to be holy and whole, even at church. Oh God, especially with your church. Lord, hear my prayer and transform my heart.